Let's pray. Lord, your word does not come back to you empty, but achieves the purpose for which you sent it. I pray this morning that as we listen to your word, as we think about your word, you would speak to us and we would have ears to hear, that your will may be done. Amen. You will have heard me laugh this morning when Susie asked us to discuss our favourite passage of Scripture, because my opening words this morning were, if I were to ask you what your favourite bit of Scripture was, I wonder what you would pick. God works amazingly, doesn't he? Because I couldn't give you very long to think about that. Susie has given us that time this morning to think about Scripture, to think about those passages that comfort us or encourage us. So thank you, Susie. Thank you, God. And I wanted to say that actually I find it very difficult to pin it down to one passage. There are a number of passages that for me really resonate, that I come back to again and again. And it will depend on where I am on that particular day, what is going on in my life, as to what passage I kind of draw on, pull out and go to give me encouragement, to give me comfort, or to give me strength. But whichever one on a particular day feels like the current one, my current favourite, this passage from Isaiah that we've just heard is always in the top 10. If you've closed your Bibles, can I encourage you to have it open in front of you at page 704, Isaiah 55, verses 1 to 11. We're going to look through that. We can't cover all of it. We can't do justice to all of it. But as I talk and as we think about the importance of Scripture, it is important for us to know that what I'm saying isn't just me, that I am referring to this. It is Scripture that we're looking at. Always challenge us. When we stand up and speak, challenge us. Go back to the book, go back to Scripture, and check that what we are saying is God's word, not just ours. I have to admit, when I opened the book and looked through, I mean, I know I love Isaiah, but when I looked to see which passage it was that I was preaching on, I got very excited this morning, because this is one of my favourites. And actually last week we looked at another really good passage. There's quite a lot of them really, aren't there? A passage from Colossians, at the encouragement to put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, not forgetting that we might need to let go of one or two things first that we might be holding on to. And we had that lovely illustration with Kat and her white robes and her handbag and coat and everything else. It reminded us that putting on those things often needs to be a conscious act of will as we seek to be more like Christ. Here again, God makes an invitation and invites us to respond in action. We see it in the first two verses of the invitation. As I read verses 1 and 2, follow the text with me and note the verbs, note the actions that God is telling us to do. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy, eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Come. Buy. Eat. Listen. Delight. It's that simple. When I first knew that I was getting to talk on this passage, the first thing I thought about is, who is God talking to here? Who is God inviting? And I think that he's extending this invitation to two types of people. Look at verse 1. The first kind is described in this verse. Come, all you who are thirsty. come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy, eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. So in other words, the thirsty and the broke. Thirsty people who cannot pay for what they need. Perhaps because they don't need to pay, perhaps because that price has already been paid. That verse may resonate with you, some of you today. There may be people here who've come with thirst in their hearts. If you're honest, you feel your heart's a bit dried up, a bit like how the grass goes brown and dry after a long period of drought. It hasn't rained for a long time. A lot of long-held hopes have dried up. Dreams have withered and died, leaving you empty, unfulfilled, dissatisfied, knowing there has to be something more to life. But sometimes it can be that everything that looks good is out of reach. No money, no strength, maybe no motivation, just a longing, a thirst. And the Lord says, you're just the person I'm after. Come, everyone who thirsts and has no money, no resources, no energy, no power. God is inviting you today to his banquet of joy and salvation. But then I think there's a second kind of person that God's inviting here. If you didn't feel that you were in that category of people covered in verse 1, it could just be that if you're honest, you may identify more with verse 2. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. So in verse 1, God said, he who has no money, come. In verse 2, he's talking to someone who has money, who has the strength to work. The first kind of person is feeling spiritually bankrupt and knows it. The second isn't there yet. He's not thirsty and broke yet. He's got money. He's spending it. He's got strength and he's laboring. But the result, frustration. He's not like the other chap, burnt out at the end of his rope. He's still spending, still working, still dreaming, chasing, searching. Different car, different house, different job, new computer, new phone, new season tickets, new diet, new looks. There's still a lot of searching left in this person, but still no pot has been found at the end of that rainbow, no fountain of youth, and every triumph peters out. The applause fades, the job is boring. The style passes, everything gets old, and the options seem to get fewer and fewer. No matter how self-sufficient we can look on the outside, there can still be a canyon of need and longing on the inside, and God knows that. He knows it better than we do. It's those of us who are trying to be happy or successful in our own strength that God has in mind when he says, in effect, why do you spend your money on junk food and work your socks off for dreams that are not satisfying you? So, two kinds of people invited by the Lord, the thirsty and broke and cannot pay, and the thirsty who think they can pay and work their way to happiness or a more contented way of life. When God spoke to the people through Isaiah, he was speaking to both these kinds of people. They were people who had hit the bottom and had nowhere to go. 70 years in exile. Some had known nothing else. All their own efforts to rescue themselves had come to nothing. Arrogance and false strength had long gone. These people had been or were in one of these two categories. Thirsty and desperate, or thirsty and disillusioned because they couldn't fix things. That might resonate with us today. There are people who feel disillusioned, who feel that they're going into exile. We've just spent a week looking at the events leading up to Friday, to Brexit, to us leaving a community that we were a part of. For some people, it'll feel like coming home after an exile. To others, it'll feel like going into exile. However you feel, I think that if we're honest, in our own lives, many of us would admit to having spent too much time in one or other of those two groups. We either feel we're in that place now, or we know that all too easily we could slip back there. And if so, if that's you, then take heart, rejoice, because God's invitation is for you today. Come. In verse 1, we're offered water, wine, and milk. All who are thirsty, come to the waters. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. God uses imagery here to show us that what he is offering provides everything we could possibly need, everything we need to flourish. After all, those three things correspond to deep needs that every one of us has. Water is life-giving, refreshing, cleansing, growing. When you're most thirsty and most desperate, when you're most dehydrated, what you need is water. Nothing else will do. Without water, there's no life. Wine is to celebrate. Wine represents the joy of being a Christian, celebrating the new life that we have in Christ. No matter how sensible, how boring we might seem to other people who meet us, there's a child inside every one of us that God made for exhilaration, for playing, singing, running, laughing. Milk is nourishing and has substance. When someone's gasping for life, you give them water. But when you want a little baby to grow day after day and to grow strong, you give it milk again and again. God is not just for emergencies and mountain peaks. He is for health and growth every day. He invites you not only to come alive with water, to be joyful with wine, but also to be stable and strong with milk. Sue reminded us in last week's service that in so many ways we are what we eat. What we choose to consume, to take in, will shape us and shape what and who we are. God is saying very much the same thing here, is offering us real food, rich fare, refreshment, nourishment, joy, rather than those empty things that don't sustain or satisfy. And then in verse 3, God tells us what the reality is behind all this imagery. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. What do we listen to? Well, we listen to God. We listen to his word. And at the end of this passage, the words that he gives Isaiah, God again uses imagery in a beautiful way to show us the beauty and the power and the nourishment of his word. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so it yields seeds for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Just as rain waters the earth, gives life to seeds and ultimately food, God promises us that his word will do the same thing for us, that it will never return empty and without fulfilling its purpose, that God's word will refresh us, make us grow and flourish, will sustain and feed us. That's why in verse 3 he tells us, give ear and come to me, listen that you may live. All we have to do is respond to his invitation to come, buy, eat, delight, and listen to his word. Reading the Bible may to many people seem a bit dull, challenging, or maybe even uninspiring. In reality, it is anything but. When we develop the habit of reading and listening to God's word, we find he gives us answers to the questions we ask. He gives us comfort and hope when life is hard. And he gives us the strength to carry on. But over all those things, again and again, he gives us the assurance and the reassurance of just how much he loves us and delights in us. Verse 6 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." How does God come near? How does he show himself to us? He comes near in his word. Like the rain comes down from heaven and brings the blessings of heaven on earth, so the word of God comes down from heaven and brings the blessings of God on us. You know, this week, mulling on this passage, knowing that we were going to be exploring it together, it made me look at rain in a very different way. Instead of focusing on what a wet and miserable day it was, I have remembered this passage as the rain and the snow come down from heaven. I've remembered how God freely showers his love and his blessings on us, blessings as numerous and as refreshing as the raindrops that fall from the sky. And you know what? When I have walked out into the rain, I have looked up and it's made me smile. When we read the Bible, or when we listen to God's word, perhaps during a sermon in church, perhaps in discussion in life group, or one of any number of other ways, God himself comes near to meet us. He guides us, prompts us, reveals his nature to us, enabling us to come close to him. So when Isaiah says in verse 6, "Seek the Lord while he may be found," he doesn't mean God is playing some game of hide and seek, trying to stay out of your way. He means that when you hear the word of God, God himself is as near as the rain on your head or the snow on your sleeve. To seek him means to open your eyes and welcome his presence. Spend time with him and live with him, walk with him, trust what he says and follow where he leads. That's why we're looking at scripture in the first of our holy habits. That's why we're seeking to develop the habit of reading, listening and hearing God's word. Not because it will impress others or impress ourselves with what good Christians we are, but because it will refresh, feed, nourish, and transform us. Jesus himself echoed Isaiah when he was tested and said, "People do not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And when people started to pull back from him because his teaching was too hard, he asked his disciples, "Will you also go away?" To which Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you might live." Amen.